Welcome, friends, to Music Scene. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me today is Alex Malkovich. He is a Tampa-based instrumentalist, specializes in guitar and saxophone, and leads the Alex Malkovich Trio. And he's got some big news for us about what he's been doing in Clearwater. So, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's start with Nash Keys, which is part of the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Experience. And tell us a little bit about what you launched this summer.
All right. So the Nash Keys session is it's an open jam session, kind of like an intermediate to an advanced session in the heart of Clearwater, which is where Clearwater Jazz Holiday has their festival, and it's where they have their headquarters and everything. There's a few like solid jam sessions in town, but a lot of them are really inconsistent, just as far as like some of them are monthly or you don't know who's playing and stuff like that. But our goal with this one was to create a very consistent and exciting environment where not only young people can come, but also people that are more experienced, as well as our goal is to maybe have people who come from out of town, like touring people coming for the Jazz Holiday or concerts at the Capitol Theater in Ruth Eckert Hall, and they know about this session. It's a really great room, and they come by, and, you know, people can meet, shake hands, and play songs together and just have a really awesome, exciting, like, learning environment to be in.
Absolutely, and it's 6 to 9 o'clock on Wednesdays, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm actually really excited to go back again. And I actually, it's a little bit of a precursor to what you're doing on Thursday, October 16th for the big event, Clearwater Jazz Holiday Young Lions Legacy Jam, past and present, hosted by you, Alex. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that one, we actually do a lot of these little Young Lions events. And so now it's kind of, I was one of the Young Lions for a while. And I still am, you know, I'm not quite past the young yet. But as we move on, and there's more like young, talented people that come through their high school programs, like the Ruth Eckert Hall Jazz Band and such like that. You know, there's sort of a new guard that is emerging that they can have their own bands, you know. It's going to be a really big mix of people. A lot of new guys, as well as, you know, guys from, you know, my generation, from a few years ago. And, we're just going to have a lot of fun sort of, reminiscing, and like the old guys are playing with the new guys and just seeing what we can come up with. It should be a really exciting event.
So exciting, because that really does symbolize back to our roots. Tell us a little bit about Frank Williams, who, of course, has been so involved with Clearwater Jazz Holiday and mentoring youth, and how he has influenced you and helped you.
Oh, man, I love Frank. Frank's the best.
We all love Frank.
Frank has had a tremendous impact on me. I would say he is one of the foremost music educators in my life, as well as just kind of teaching people how to be professional, how to be adult. Everyone knows the impact he's had on our community. But especially like in my own personal life, I really value my time that I spent with Frank Williams. He's been very encouraging, as well as notoriously very stern, you know, to put it lightly. But he is truly an invaluable part of our community, and I'm really thankful. I would not be where I am without Frank Williams.
I just love hearing that. We've been so lucky at Radio St. Pete to host interviews with him, and also to have him record some of his amazing jazz history podcasts He just literally, your jaw drops at all the people he knew. Well, you know, he was, of course, at Bocasiega High School as the leader, and you actually are a Seminole High graduate. Let's talk a little bit about your journey as a musician and, you know, your love for music. So tell me a little bit about how you got to be a musician, even before Seminole High.
Sure. So I started, I'll put it in air quotes, seriously playing, because I don't think, you know, I don't think you should take yourself too seriously, but I started seriously playing when I was about 9 years old. My dad got me this guitar. I come from a very musical culture. And so I've been always like wrapped up in music, trying to play whatever I can get my hands on. My older brother got taught by my uncle for a little while, and they gave me like a little crummy guitar to bang around on when I was like 4. So fast forward to when I was 9, my dad took advantage of the one of the like Christmas sales at Seminole Music and Sound, and which I've actually I worked at as a teacher not too long ago, and basically you get a guitar and it comes with 2 free guitar lessons. Something just kind of stuck. Those are some of, weirdly enough, like the earliest memories that I can think of, just sitting in that room with, I was lucky enough to be with a guy, who's now passed, Charlie Kaufman, really fantastic human being. He was a very formative educator, in a similar way to Frank was, where he taught me a lot about just being a gigging guy. And, just how to behave, how to conduct myself professionally. And, he really put me in some cool environments. He would take me on his gigs and do these recitals, set up bands around me. It was really cool. But, then I got to about middle school, and that's where I picked up the saxophone. I had a great director when I was in beginning band, named Mr. Chad Guess. Who I'm sure a lot of people who come from Seminole will know Chad Guess. He was the best. I wasn't allowed to do the jazz band and play guitar unless I did a full year of beginning band. So that's where I ended up picking up the saxophone. And then Mr. Guess left the next year, left us with this guy Jeff Mills, who, super cool dude, good player. He set up the jazz band and the wind ensemble based off recommendations. So then I, ever since then, I've been keeping up with saxophone and guitar as best I can.
Who are some of your influences in guitar and saxophone back then? Who were you listening to and kind of looking to for some inspiration?
Well, it was kind of funny. Just a quick story. I went to this guitar camp in upstate New York a few years ago, and we had the great John Schofield as a clinician, and he was saying how he was explaining how no guitar player started off playing jazz. If you started off listening to jazz, you would play like piano or trumpet or something. So I started off playing a lot of rock music, to be honest, rock and blues. And I was a big, like, I was really into the Doors, Led Zeppelin, a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. That sort of got me into the, roots style music and, American Songbook a little bit.
Wow. What a journey.
Yeah, and then on saxophone, it was kind of like I didn't really get huge influences until later, to be honest. I was influenced real early by a guy who, when I was a freshman in high school, he was sort of my mentor, and I still very much value his impact on my life. He's a local guy who's also come through the Seminole High School program and the Ruth Eckert Hall program. He actually has a concert at the end of the month.
What's his name?
Zacher.
Oh, we loved, and he's going to become an attorney and leave us.
Yeah. I mean, he'll still always be a musician, but moving on to a big boy job, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing. We all know that Seminole High School has a legendary band teacher and a legendary band. Tell us a little bit about Seminole High and how it moved your decision to be a musician, and really pursue it professionally.
Well, really, I mean, it comes down to having guys there like Trace, and there was also this guy there, Jonathan Kenny. They both did the Ruth Eckert program, and when I had gotten there, they had a big mix of jazz band directors, kind of high turnover rate a little bit, just because they couldn't nail anybody down. As a result, those guys went to different camps like USF Festival of Winds and the Ruth Eckert Hall Jazz Camp and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny. They walked into school one day. Trace was just like, hey, you're coming to Ruth Eckert Hall tonight for the jazz band, and you know, they sort of just the best way I can describe it is they kidnapped me and took me to Ruth Eckert Hall, but it was very voluntary. Yeah, so it's just like we have a very in Seminole we have a very supportive community, and I appreciate that the directors foster that, as well as they have their really great marching band program, which I was a part of for all 4 years. I was a soloist a couple times, and they're doing great things. It's really just about the people that you get to meet. Like they bring in clinicians and stuff, and just you know, it's cool that they support young musicians like that. It's really awesome.
Did you go on to pursue it at college, or did you go right into the music profession?
So I am technically enrolled at St. Petersburg College, and I do have every intention of going back this fall. Mm-hmm. But I have been more so pursuing the music profession, as well as like I just kind of travel a lot as much as I can, and I just find great musicians to study with and people to meet and stuff. Just recently I got to go up to Chicago and start studying with Bobby Broom.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. Hearing all of his stories about, like, you know, being in Sonny Rollins' band and all that stuff was really awesome. And I look forward to going back with him. I've been able to study with, like, Peter Bernstein up in New York. He's been totally awesome. Really love that guy. As well as doing camps, all that stuff, you know, it's pretty cool, doing that, but obviously you got to go back and get your degree. So I do intend on doing that, but I don't know. I feel like the travel and the studying and stuff has kind of granted me a bit of a unique perspective on
that. I think it's a wonderful apprenticeship. I mean, quite honestly, what better way to learn music than firsthand with the best?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you love about guitar and what do you love about saxophone, and how does each speak to you and allow you to express yourself differently?
So with the guitar, I find myself just there's so much to do, you know. There's so many things, so many responsibilities that you have, as far as like you have to prove that you know your chords, you know your comping, you know your rhythm, all, you know, knowing, really, really knowing the tunes. I feel like no offense to saxophone players, but I am a saxophone player, so I can speak a little bit. For me, it is it's a lot easier to be a saxophone player in a jazz band, just because, like, you don't have to comp. You don't have to, you know, I mean, obviously everybody has to know the changes. Everybody has to have their rhythm. Everyone's very responsible for that. But with guitar, you're sort of, if you don't do your responsibility, then, you know, the band is going to be in trouble. On the
Absolutely.
Saxophone, however, yeah, I feel very, I guess, cerebral is the term when I'm playing guitar.
Interesting. Yeah, right. And also it gives you more range of expression. The guitar can speak in so many different ways. And I think that's so interesting. So that leads us to the Alex Malkovich Trio. Who are you? And I see a lot of weddings in your list. I also see that you've been at North End Tap House and that you played with Ronnie D some. So let's start with the Alex Malkovich Trio.
Cool. So also, just to touch back on the last question a little bit. So I love the saxophone. And what I love about it is that it's very I get a very, like, cathartic feeling when I'm playing the saxophone, that, like, it's just different, you know. It's nice to have the two different instruments to express myself properly. You know, different tools for different jobs. And that's actually something that Ronnie D talked to me about, but I'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah, I love Ronnie D. I met him at the Mahaffey, and he's the bomb. But let's talk about the Alex Malkovich Trio, which I have seen. Yeah. And enjoy. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been together, who's with you, and what your sound is.
Cool. So, yeah, the trio is, we kind of go by different names. Sort of our concert name is MPM. That's just our last names abbreviated. But because the idea is we're trying to be more collaborative, but also we have, it's kind of like one of us gets a gig and then we hire the other guys on it, and whoever got the gig, that's the leader. And so it could be the Alex Malkovich trio, the Arias Pettigo trio, the Cooper Madden trio, just, you know, whoever gets the gig. But those are the guys that are with me. It's my good buddies, Arias Pettigo, drummer, who's my age here, and then Cooper Madden, who's a really great friend of mine, upright bass player, and he, I believe Cooper is 20. He's much younger than Arias and I, and it's really speaks to his skill level and his practice level for being able to keep up. We've kind of been throwing him in the fire ever since we met him. We started playing with him when he was like 17 or something. Yeah, I love those guys so much, man. They're really wonderful to play with. And our sound really is just kind of like an amalgam of all of the things that all of us are into, you know? I mean, we have a lot of intersecting points where we like to live with each other, but also we have very different influences. Like I play a lot more sort of like rock music and soul music and stuff, whereas like Arias is a classically trained piano player, you know, and so he knows like Schubert and Rachmaninoff and stuff. And not that I'm just not as intimately aware of, you know, this guy's work as he is. And, you know, Cooper is actually a fantastic hip hop producer.
Wow.
He makes beats and songs like that, and he posts them on SoundCloud. And I mean, really, it's kind of fun trying to figure out what we can do with all of our unique talents. And that's kind of the cool thing about the jazz umbrella, is that you can do so many things, and it's still, you know, it can still be in essence jazz. You know, obviously you have to have your foundation, which that's what we all three of us have, is firm foundations in the jazz art form, but being able to add our sort of individual elements to it, I think is really interesting. Especially people sitting in with us. I've heard some interesting comments about like a buddy of mine sat in with us one time, and he had never done like a jazz jam before, and so that was what was cool about having this Nash Keys thing. His exact words were, it felt like, he was, like he had a bus coming at him. Like he felt like he was going to get run over by a bus. Cause it was just, we're, he described us as like, we're just a force, you know, and it's moving. And, I'm hoping that other people can, and other people feel the same way, because that's how we try to be. And when we're inside of a tune, it feels like there's really nothing that we can't do together.
An improv wave, an improv big wave that you surf music-wise, right? So let's talk about your relationship with Ronnie D. How'd you meet Ronnie D, and what are you doing with him?
Oh. Cool. So Ronnie, I've known for a little while now. I've just recently started playing with him, but I'm really fortunate to know Ronnie. I met him sort of early on when I was starting college, and I got in touch with like the Bay Kings band. Mm-hmm. He was like a vocalist for them, I think still is. I met him at one of their showcases where mm-hmm. I had played, and he gave me some really interesting advice. Actually, he said, I have a lot of tools, like the guitar playing, the tenor playing, as well as like singing, band leading, different stuff like that. And he said, you have a lot of tools, and make sure that you keep them as sharp as possible, because you never know when you're going to need one of them. He's always been, I mean, everyone who's in this town knows who Ronnie D is. Ronnie D is the man. He creates such an awesome environment in his band that I'm really privileged to have recently, you know, become a part of in the fold. He was actually my buddy Trace. Trace was in Ronnie D's band for a while. That's how that's sort of how I found out about Ronnie D. Recently, I've been playing with one of his sons a few times, like his son Jacob. Jacob is a really cool drummer, and he writes really interesting music. And I was fortunate enough to be part of his band, The Outgroove, for one concert, just kind of filling in the, like a super sub role. And yeah, I mean, Ronnie was playing in there. And no matter who you are, if you're playing with Ronnie, he's going to be like very fatherly, very welcoming. Like, I think when I walked into the house, he said, "Welcome home," and gave me a hug, you know.
That's Ronnie.
Yeah, and his kids are all the same way. I mean, I've had limited experiences with like AJ, but Jacob is also, his whole family just really carries himself that way, just making people feel welcome, but also not playing around with the music. They're real, real serious, and I think that's important. You know, obviously, I said you can't take yourself too seriously, but you also still got to take yourself a little seriously. Yeah.
Alex, how old are you?
I'm 23.
So to me, that's incredibly young, and you're doing so much. Tell me what's on your list of things you'd like to, places you'd like to play, places you'd like to be. What's on your list? What's your wish list? What's manifest?
My wish list? I don't know. I mean, I like traveling around and seeing the historic clubs,
mm-hmm.
and just being on the scene with people, being a local. I would love to get up to either, I was recently in Chicago. I love Chicago. I would love to play more in Chicago or New York, or I was recently in Seattle, you know, maybe check out Seattle scene. Just you know, exploring via music, essentially, and meeting people and getting to, you know, share music with them and interact with them, as well as, you know, some festivals maybe, you know, stuff like that. And again, just trying to meet people, just trying to have a very, very human experience with everybody, because that's really what it's all about. I mean, we're sharing our gifts with each other and as musicians and in the audience, and you get to meet all sorts of really awesome folks doing this.
If you've just joined me on Radio St. Pete on Music Scene, I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and we're talking to Alex Malkovich, who is on an incredible journey, playing here, traveling to play and learn from other people. He's going to be at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. He's been involved with the Clearwater Jazz Foundation. On Thursday, October 16th, he'll perform then. He has a jazz jam in downtown Clearwater at the Nash Keys, Wednesday 6 to 9. So tell me before we finish this conversation, but it's not our last conversation, I hope, where else you're going to be playing in August and September coming up?
August, I really honestly, I have some, it's in the works basically, but I'm getting calls with more stuff with Ronnie. I'm going to be, you know, at the Nash Keys Jam every week. Looking to potentially put on some like independent concerts, here and there. So stay tuned for those. But they'll be kind of placed around St. Pete and Tampa Bay area. And the best place to find out about that is just on our social media page, either mine, Lex Malco on Instagram, or, MPM Jazz also on Instagram.
Terrific. And where on Facebook do we find you?
On Facebook, it's just my individual profile is Alex Malkovich, as well as our band page is also going to be MPM Jazz on Facebook.
Terrific. Alex, we want to thank you for joining us on Radio St. Pete. And, you know, guitar and saxophone seem to have a happy home with you. We look forward to hearing you perform with Ronnie, with your own group, with MPM and the Alex Malkovich Trio, and most certainly, congratulations on your ongoing relationship with the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. Remember, folks, that festival is October 16th through the 19th in Coachman Park. Parting words for people who are in high school now, looking to play music. Best advice from you, Alex?
A handful of things. Keep going. Don't stop. And find people that are better than you and try and surround yourself with them. You never, ever want to be the smartest guy in a room. If you are, you're in the wrong room.
That is sage advice from a 23-year-old, soon to be legendary. We look for you at future festivals. And we, Alex, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
For Radio St. Pete, Music Scene, I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Until we play again.
A good time. Well, we're gonna have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Oh yeah, yeah. Have a good time tonight. And boogie along until the morning light. Mama said to Papa, I know that look in your eye. Well, Mama said to Papa, I know that look in your eye. And I got something for you, gonna keep satisfied. Well, we're gonna have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Oh yeah, have a good time tonight. Hey, boy, we'll get to the morning light. Whoa, yeah. And treat her like you're supposed to do. Well, have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Have a good time tonight. Oh yeah, yeah. Have a good time tonight. Hey, buddy, you're real good. Walk it to the morning light. Till the morning, we're gonna book it till the morning light. Have a good time.